Good morning. We are back, Bostopian News, with Evan George to do a fantastic interview panel. I think my first panel, where I have three amazing parents from the O'Brien School to talk about both the process and how the Wu administration has handled communicating with the families, the students, the teachers, the administrators, the wider community about moving the O'Brien School from its current location all the way out to West Roxbury. And then secondly, should that move happen, some of the disastrous ramifications for not just the current students, but future students to the O'Brien, and really the future of Boston Public Schools. So even if this is a little bit of a minute issue, I can't really recommend enough to listen to it, because all of these mothers have incredible political instincts and insights about what is really happening. And there is so much behind the scene politics where it comes to our schools that even going into this, I was not at all aware of. And it more has to do with how we discuss public education in this country that we sometimes miss all of the very real political dynamics, and really how we are all just treated in some ways as children in terms of not being told why are the decisions really happening. So definitely sit back and enjoy. And I will add some ways that people can get involved a little bit later, still waiting back on some confirmations. But if you go look through the note history of like the podcast, I'll add it there. I'll share it on social media. And as always, for a very quick pitch, if you would like to support this show, my TikToks, the overall work that I do, if you want to just gain access to it, it is all available, patreon.com/bostopianews. And if you would like to make a small financial contribution to both lift my spirits and also to pressure me to continue to make more content, you can do so for as little as $4 a month. And with that, enjoy the interview. And we are back, Bostopian News, with Evan George, and I am joined by three parents from the O'Brien School, Tammy Hammack, Stacey Kramer, and Lisa Cogwa McAllister. Thank you all for being here this evening.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You. Thanks.
Absolutely. And we were all connected by Ruby Reyes from the Boston Education Justice Alliance, who I interviewed a few weeks ago. And she was very adamant that you would all be really the best people to speak to on this issue. It got quite a bit of press, you know, maybe back in June of last year, once the announcement was first made. There's been maybe about a dozen or two articles on this topic. And it seems like most of the conversation falls into two different camps. One is around how this was communicated and the people who are really behind the decisions that are being made. And then the second part is about the impact it will have. And I really wanted to start with the communication part first, because some of this story is kind of difficult for me to understand. And really, right before we go into it, actually, if we want to just do very quick introductions, if you wouldn't mind just saying your name and your affiliation with the O'Brien School. So just going as I see, Tammy.
Yes, my name's Tammy Hammack, and my daughter is a senior at the OB, and she started there in seventh grade. And I will just give you the shout out that the way I found out about the move is I got a text from my daughter saying, "Mom, I'm going to be on the news," because they asked me what I thought about moving to West Roxbury, and I told them, blah, 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 and it's a really bad idea.
That's all right, well, I'll definitely have to find that clip. And Lisa.
Hey, Evan. I'm Lisa. I'm a parent at the O'Brien. My son is an eighth grader there. This is his second year, and excited to be able to share some of the parent perspectives with you about this harrowing journey.
Great. And Stacey.
Hi, I'm Stacey Kramer. I'm a parent at O'Brien. My son is in 10th grade, and he's been going there since he was in 7th. And we love OB. And first heard about this sort of on this call Zoom thing that happened. The only reason I even participated was because it said it was like about Madison. And I thought, has to be about O'Brien too, because it's connected. And that's the only reason that I even like logged on and then found this whole thing out and was like, what? And it's been just crazy.
Okay. Well, talking about that communication, I wanted to read from you a quote from Mayor Michelle Wu, and this was given on the Radio Boston program. I think it's like Mondays with the Mayor. This is from June 20th, so this is maybe 2 or 3 weeks after kind of the announcement went public. And it's just a few sentences. And this is when asked the question around the pushback about how this was communicated with the parents, the teachers, the administrators, the wider community. So when asked that question, here is her response. I've heard this a couple of times. There's been no transparency. Things have been decided without hearing from students or parents, etc. We are so lucky that we are one of the most engaged cities anywhere in the country, and if someone believes that they weren't the first to hear something, they believe everything has been decided and all of a sudden they were left out. And what struck me about that sentence, and probably like communicates better coming from her, was that she basically dismissed the idea and somewhat mocked it, basically saying that these people are just mad that they weren't told first and now they're pretending that they weren't involved. And we heard from Tammy in terms of how she first was notified about this coming from her daughter. Lisa and then Stacy, could you also just share when it was exactly that you were made aware of this decision?
Absolutely. So Evan, it's interesting because there's a big difference between not everybody knowing and no one knowing. And I think that's a little bit of a play on words here that the mayor might be using. But I found out because another parent told me that there was going to be a Zoom meeting to discuss the move of the O'Brien. Now, this was I had been a little bit out of the loop with the initial, well, what happened with the press conference, because what actually happened is a press conference happened in front of the school where, and at the time that that public announcement was made that the school might be moved to West Roxbury, no parents had been notified or engaged at all.
And that was
Zero.
on June 6th, that press conference, correct?
Yep, exactly, that press conference. So it's funny that you said that conversation with the mayor was on June 20th. That night was going to be the first time that the O'Brien community was going to be engaged through a virtual meeting that we had to fight for, basically, with the city to be able to talk about what is hap what are you announcing even to the public. So there was no kind of process to either tell the O'Brien community or the Roxbury community. Everybody was basically taken by surprise. My understanding is that even the educators at the O'Brien, they only found out the day or so before the announcement. So nobody knew this decision, this proposal was cooked up, definitely not with any involvement of the people who are actually going to be impacted, or even from a real perspective from parents across the city who might be interested in where one of the central excellent schools in our city is going to be located. So it was at that first meeting on June 20th, that night, that we first were able to talk together, and overwhelmingly, people did not want the school to move. Since then, it's been an absolute battle to have an audience with the administration or even BPS. We have requested meetings to be held at the O'Brien so parents can engage this question. Those have not happened, even to this day. Finally, just recently, about 2 weeks ago, after we had been fighting for parents to be surveyed on what they actually thought about this idea, finally the administration and BPS sent out a communication from the architect firm that has been working with Madison Park, is my understanding, from on the overall site. As you know, I don't know how much people in Boston are aware. Madison Park and the O'Brien share basically the same physical plan. It's about 1 million square feet. 900,000 about of that is built already, but with a lot of potential to be able to expand and improve and house both schools. So hearing this proposal that we're going to be moving to West Roxbury was quite a shock to the entire system.
And Stacey, how about yourself? When were you first notified?
I was sort of notified. I think a year before And I believe it was in the spring of the previous year, which is when I saw this meeting about Madison. And when I logged in, no one had any idea about anything. That's not true. I had no idea about anything, and I think all of OB had no idea about anything. And the invite right before it changed to, I believe, like, this is a little foggy, but changed to like Madison and friends with O'Brien, or like it somehow was like, oh, we better involve them. This is like right before. So first the email said nothing, and then I think it was changed, I believe. And at that meeting, it seemed like there were some people who had known about it. Apparently, they had done like a visioning or I don't even know what the word is, where
And
they've
did this
just,
meeting take place early 2023?
yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. Or no, I'm like late, like in the school year, late, like in the summer or spring. And they were, I don't know if it was visioning, there was nothing to look at that point, but I think there was a contractor who I think is the architect who has been working on it, I think, I'm not sure, who apparently had been hired because someone said, well, what did you even get paid for? Like, what, who are you? What's going on? I think it was something like $100,000 to research the area and figure out if this was even possible. And most of us were dumbfounded and were like, what are you even talking about? Like, what? And it was all about Madison. And it was really bad. Everybody who was logged on was against it and was shocked. And so I think things were being cooked at the same time, and we didn't know at all. So then, Lisa, what you're talking about, and Tammy, what you're talking about is like the most recent, like is the
Right.
new thing. But there was a Zoom
Yeah,
thing
there was.
before.
I was on that meeting too.
And everyone was against it, and we all thought it was done because everyone was like, no, this is a terrible idea. And then that was the end of it, and we never heard anything until the mayor's announcement.
And that follows nicely. So there was a Boston City Council meeting, I think it was December 5th, and I know they schedule it in the evening so that parents and students could attend. It was about 5 hours long. I made it
Yeah.
through most of it, and it was kind of striking because they outlined this timeline that I think, Stacey, you were also talking about. Because my biggest question about all of this is, like, why the O'Brien? There are 119 schools within Boston Public School. And
Yes.
according to the representatives from the administration, they said somewhere around late 2022, we looked at the West Roxbury site, and I think they started to pay for a contractor. Maybe it was the same person you were discussing, Stacey, to envision what could this space be for a high school. And then somewhere, that was maybe, I think, mid-2022. It was around the time that Mary Skipper joined. And then they said that by late 2022, they landed on the O'Brien. And how that decision was made is still very murky to me. I mean, if you three ladies don't know that answer, I don't think anyone would. So let me just kind of phrase it like that. From you following this, you being engaged with it, why do you think so early the administration went from this is a great site for a school to this is a great site for the O'Brien and we should move it here?
I think we were the, I basically think we were an afterthought because I think there's been a lot. I think that there's been this undercurrent that Madison Park and the OB can't get to work together, which isn't true at all. And that Madison Park has been underserved and basically, you know, cheated out of a great great tech education for those kids. And this was a time to make that shine because tech education is extremely important. It's extremely important in our city, to our state, and to our country. And OB parents see that we should be going together. You know, Madison Park and OB belong to each other. I actually envision that One actually sandwiches or dovetails that tech education along with the STEM education go together, and they should be in the central part of the city. That's how I think. And it was like, well, this would be easy. We can move those kids out there, and then we could build up Madison Park. I think it was just that naive. That's my gut. I have no basis for it whatsoever. And the other thing about the communication part that Lisa brought up is that meeting that we had on June 20th. You have to remember that was the last week of school. A lot of parents weren't even around then. That the meeting that we so closely like hammered together, and they were totally opposed.
No, that's a great point about the timing, and I haven't really heard that theory of yours. And I want to also get Lisa and Stacy's opinion on why do you think they went so quickly to label it the O'Brien that should move to this location?
That's such a great question, Evan. I think a lot of us have been wondering that because it's such, from our perspective, it's such a crazy proposal that there has to be some overwhelming reason why this in some way makes sense to someone. And honestly, the only thing that I can really come up with is, now again, this is just a wondering. This is not, I'm not inside BPS offices discussing these ideas. But I can talk a little bit about what it looks like from the outside, what could be the motivations. And I can imagine that BPS is really hungry to get families from West Roxbury and those neighborhoods to reinvest in BPS. They've had, I think, for example, one statistic is since the change in the exam school policy, I think 50% of certain parents in those areas are not are in part of BPS. Before it was 60%, and so in the exam school schools, and so there's I think there's a hunger for more exam school seats because these schools are coveted schools. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of how much parents around the city are just praying that their child will land one of these seats, and instead of really the long journey of improving all our schools so that we're not fighting over a few schools, the shortcut would be let's just expand the number of seats at these coveted schools and make sure that they're places where even our middle class white families from West Roxbury might want to go. And I've heard families just anecdotally talk about how they don't they want seats at BLS. They're willing to take a seat at the BLA, but the O'Brien they have a harder time with because of however they perceive that neighborhood or proximity to different things in that area. And so moving the O'Brien to West Roxbury would completely deal with that dynamic for families who have any kind of fears about putting their child in a more urban environment. And the reality is that location is what makes the school incredible because you have this community that is incredibly diverse, incredibly vibrant, relating across all kinds of socioeconomic lines. Our school is the most diverse school. It's actually representative of of BPS demographics, unlike the other exam schools. And we have a lot more students with an IEP than some of the other exam schools. We have I think over 50% of our families are English speaking at home. And I mean, a language other than English at home. And we have a lot of English language learning students at an exam school. So this is a school that's thriving. It's vibrant. It's an excellent school. Obviously, our kids are having a wonderful experience there. And all we have to do is move it somewhere else so that even more families will want to go to it. And I think it's interesting because one at the hearing that you mentioned on December 5th, I remember only aside from the administration representatives, there was only one community voice that was advocating for the O'Brien moving to West Roxbury. One voice out of the hours and hours of testimony that you are speaking about. And that voice, what their reasoning, they're like, well, when you're desperate to send your child to a good school, you don't care if they have to spend however many hours on the bus, or however they're going to get it. You're going to get send your kid. If your kid gets a seat at the O'Brien, you will send them on the train and bus for 2 hours every day if you have to. You'll just do that because that's what you do for a good education. And I think that's really true. And in fact, many of our MECO families already have to do that. They have made that choice to make their child go to these other communities where they find that the educational system is going to offer something that Boston can't. But the reality is, we have a school here that's accessible for all our communities where we don't have to do that. Why move it and basically turn it into a METCO school for most of Boston, really, and in a neighborhood that has zero transportation and zero things around it? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the topic of partnerships and the I think one of the things that really hits me hard in my heart is that in every conversation that I've had with BPS staff around this issue, they really are thinking about that the asset is the building. That is the asset that they need to understand. And even their visioning process that they're talking about starting next month with the O'Brien community is around only talk about the building. Don't talk about what's around the building. Don't talk about where the building is. Don't talk about all of the things that make this community incredible. Just talk about the physical asset of the building. And you can't think like that when you're dealing in a diverse urban environment. I mean, no matter how incredible, let's say hypothetically, you can make the most magical location in West Roxbury. That location is not going to be near museums. It's not going to be near pharmaceutical companies that can provide internships. It's not going to be in a diverse community where students already feel themselves represented. It's not going to be walking distance to so many things that our students currently enjoy that you don't have to have inside the building because it's in the neighborhood and within easy access. Partnerships that of all kinds. And Tammy, I know that you've had personal experience with your own children in that mission.
Yeah, I
So,
think right before we began, Tammy, you shared that your daughter is currently at her after-school job, which is only made possible because of the connection of the area. And Lisa, you brought up the change in the admissions policy around exam schools, and that was also cited as one of the reasons in that late 2022 why they looked at the O'Brien. However, how they phrased it, and by they I mean somebody representing the administration, was, well, now that this change has been done, and for people who don't know, it is basically they get to take into account zip code weighted in some respect, not just the exam score itself. That now that that has happened, it's safe to move it because it will be able to maintain diversity because of that change. However, and that is a very positive spin. However, the reason that you cited, I think, is also very, very logical that after that decision and then the drop of enrollment of white families, particularly wealthy white families, BPS looked at that and thought, oh, we need to find a way to get those families back. Let's move it because of this decision. And I thought that was a fascinating insight. And again, on top of Tammy, her rationale about why the O'Brien, these are two perspectives that really aren't being heard or highlighted that actually add a lot of clarity for me. Again, somebody looking at it thinking, it's 119 schools. Like, how did we already land on this? Why aren't we just building a new school? Stacey, I don't know if you have a third theory, but.
I think I mean I appreciate these. Also, let me just say two things. One, the hearing was 5.5 hours, but that's not normal. It's normally not that long. Like it was that long because of this. Like so because people are so passionate about this. And the family or the person that you're talking about, Lisa, who was not against it from what you're describing, that's not in favor of it. Like that you'll put your kid on the bus no matter what. That still doesn't mean the person is supporting it. The person is supporting a good school no matter where it is. Like that still doesn't mean that like the person wants to. I mean, I don't know. I It still doesn't even count. Like they still don't.
Well,
They're
this is Stacey, this is public record. You know the person who was bringing that perspective was actually Richard O'Brien.
right. Yeah.
And so I think
It's a rich man's choice. And I'm sorry. It is a rich man's choice to say, one of privilege to say that. Because what he's saying is that poor kids
Right.
deserve to have to spend an additional 2 hours of their day on a bus or transportation because they're not worthy of having nice things in their own neighborhood. Now, I live in Brighton. We have a pretty middle-class neighborhood. However, we have the highest rate of childhood poverty in the city, some really high rates. You would think it would be very accessible to get from Brighton to West Rexbury. In the middle of the afternoon, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. They had things where we could go out to see the rec center, and they would run shuttle buses from Forest Hills on a Saturday. It's an hour and an hour to get to Forest Hills from Brighton. Really? That's an hour
And
and a half.
I think there was a study done, or maybe it was the MBTA weighing in on it, that they estimated that this would add 75 or 70 minutes for each child's commute if you just took the same children who went and then you transferred them to West Roxbury. And you know, a lot of that is because it is just a very non-accessible area. It's structured much more
Yeah.
like a suburb. It really doesn't have a fast commuter rail stop or a fast stop on the MBTA. But we're going to go back to the communication aspect because there's still just some questions I have for you all. But now that we're talking about transportation, and I think it's different that you still have children there. And so, you know, if asked the question, would you be willing to send your child for an additional 75 minutes with the West Roxbury? I think that is a much harder choice because that student already has relationships with teachers. You already have a relationship with teachers. They have their friends there, which is generally never like discussed or considered with BPS, how important it is, like those social networks. As a former educator, honestly, the social aspects are probably the most important part of school. It's not the academic, it's the social. But if you had to, you know, go back in time while you were applying for schools and I think Lisa, you have a sixth grader who's in that process now. Would you all have made the choice to send your child to the O'Brien if it did already exist in West Roxbury, if it added that 70 or so minutes? And you know, it's going to be different depending on where you live. And if you don't want to speak to it personally, if that's too difficult, what do you think other parents' choices would be in that
Can I
scenario?
speak up, Evan? Because this is really so before my daughter went to the O'Brien, she attended Conservatory Lab Charter School, which started off in Brighton and moved down next to Kearney Hospital, down in Dorchester, Lower Mills. Consequently, it was a bus ride from every day. So I already had been familiar with a commute that was impossible and that BPS was in charge of. I was on the phone at the beginning of the school year, two and three times hours a day with BPS, trying to locate my child, watching bus drivers drive in circles. So, no, I would absolutely have not put my child through that, adding more to that, because I was already used to doing that really horrible thing. And currently, it's an hour for her to get to the O'Brien, and an hour and a half sometimes to get back, depending on what else she's got going on. So no, I wouldn't.
And Stacy, if maybe you want to answer that, we'll go to Lisa if you have a
Sure.
thought on it too.
Yeah, I do. And I also wanted to say about Richard O'Brien, about O'Brien's son, which is I think he was talked to early on, and I think they said it's going to be this shiny new place and it's going to be fantastic. And I think he said, "How could it go wrong? That's fantastic." And I think that's when he said, "And yeah, that sounds great." And I think from there they're like, "And he supports it." And then I think that was it. And I think that's what I think happened. And I think they counted on any parent saying like, "Wow, you're going to build this shiny new building, and it's going to be so great." Yes. And I think they were counting on that. I don't think it was malicious, but I think that no one asked the community and said like, "What do you guys think? Would you do this?" Now, would I have done this? Absolutely not. In fact, my son was when he got into O'Brien, or seventh grade, so he was in sixth. And the school that he was at went until eighth grade, and I could have kept him there, but knowing that it stopped after eighth, I was like, I know, like, we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it, and like, let's see what happens. And then he got in. If not, he would try again then. But I knew that, like, having him commute and then trying to find another place, like, he was already commuting to school then, and it was in Dedham, live in Boston. So then, like, no, absolutely not. I wouldn't have thought that we're going to stop him from commuting to Dedham and instead commute to West Roxbury. Like, also equally, not just inaccessible, way more inaccessible, because there was a school bus when he went to school. So, like, no, absolutely not. And the 75-minute extra commute is only to school from school, if it's really only that, not to anything else you have to do or can do or the school's connected with, that you have an opportunity. Like, we're talking about, it's not even just that it would be hours and hours, it would be impossible. Like, there's no way that anybody can continue their schedule, their life. Also, as far as, sorry, like, all different, as far as, like, having the continuity of having the teachers, do the teachers all have cars? Are they going to take these shuttle buses? You really know how long it's going to take them to get there? Are they really going to? I'm not saying they're not committed, but, like, come on, you got to give somebody a break. Like, I don't know if they're all going to go. Like, did they even ask them that? And asking O'Brien, and I misspoke, Evan, it wasn't the 2023, it was the 2022, which was when that first meeting was. And then I thought it was done. And then came the next one, like, the next summer, I guess, almost. Yeah, no, I they never asked. And it's just wrong. And when the superintendent, sorry, like, so scattered, but when the superintendent came on board, we tried to have a meeting with her at O'Brien, and we were told that she was coming, and we were all so excited as parents, and then nothing. Then we were not invited to a meeting. There was one meeting at O'Brien, and parents were not invited. And it was just staff, and it just happened in a day, like, in a school day, work day, and parents weren't invited to any conversation.
And was that
So
on the June 5th, the day before the announcement, or is this subsequently they've had one? I'll go
I
through some of the other statements from the
sure,
administration for
sure,
clarification.
sure. I think it was before,
Okay.
but I'm not certain. I think it was before, but maybe May, but I'm just kind of making it up. But we were not involved, and then suddenly there was a press conference, like,
And Lisa, I do want to also hear your thought on, would you have made that choice? But to continue with, like, with the conversation, like, how much you were all involved and how the Wu administration handled it, because they have said kind of contradictory statements about this, even just in that one administration and the mayor on, like, different meetings, both saying, like, this is the beginning of the process, and that they have previously talked to people. So, for example, during that December 5th meeting, somebody from the administration said, once they kind of landed on late 2022, it's the O'Brien. In the next 6 months, because the announcement was in June, quote, conversations with high school leaders, former leaders, high school administrators. Someone else then says, quote, when it became an idea, we invited members from the O'Brien family to tour the complex. And they're discussing all before June. And it's my under, but then, however, Wu's deputy chief of policy, Tali Robbins, stated that members of the O'Brien school community were not notified or consulted in advance of the June announcement.
Yeah,
And I
I
don't want to
mean,
say someone's lying. I know it's stressful to talk in front of city councilors and the public, but the administration are definitely saying two different things in terms of that involvement. So just to finally clarify it, it sounds like people weren't consulted. But if they were, do you know any of these O'Brien family members and community members that were invited on this tour?
well, I'll tell you something, Evan. Whoever, if there was anybody that the administration talked to before the June announcement, They have not come forward and said, I am one of the parents that the administration spoke with.
That was also something I was thinking about. Like, can we find
No
a
one
single
has said,
person?
they talked to me, you guys, they talked to me. I talked to them. I gave my opinion. No one, not one person. We have not had parents organize at any kind of parent council meeting since this happened to say, hey, you guys, I actually like this. I like the move. I would like to hear from parents who are pro move. Not one parent has said that. The closest we've ever had is parents asking, why do they want us to move there? Just asking the question, why is this an idea that's being considered? Especially when we know that that keeping both schools where they are was not really entertained. That the co-location where we are right now has not been entertained. It's interesting because, you know, as I hear us recollect the process, it just strikes me so much that we have been catching as catch can, figuring out what is happening here. You know, all of us have jobs, families, other commitments. This is not our job, you know. Figuring out what's going on with BPS buildings is not what we get paid to do, but we've had to figure out a way to scramble and understand what this system is doing. And now it's interesting because I want to circle back to why would Mr. O'Brien be supportive of this?
And for
And
my
I
own
actually,
clarification, this is the descendant of the person whose name, who the school's named after.
yeah,
Okay.
child,
Just one.
son.
It was inferred, but I just wanted to make sure
No,
in case
no.
there was any
Yes,
confusion.
no,
Son, yes.
absolutely, Kevin. Absolutely. And so, and he has been leveraged by the administration to say, look, we've got community support for this. So his voice is very important
But he was very condescending.
but let me tell you, so one of the ways that we've kind of looked at things is like I also went to a Madison Park community meeting. This was last fall. This is right before the hearing on December 5th, and it was the meeting where the city, the BPS staff was presenting the new plans for Madison Park on the plan that we share with the O'Brien. And it was at that meeting that I spoke a little bit with Mr. O'Brien, and I heard from other parents that night who, not other parents, forgive me, community members who were supporting the Madison Park process. And I'll tell you two things that really struck me about what was happening at that meeting. Now, when you walk in, there's no introductions. Nobody knows who's who, right? But so nobody knew I was from the O'Brien or coming at it from that perspective. And so after the BPS folks did their presentation, the architects came forth and showed the feasibility study that they were presenting. Immediately, the Madison Park folks said to them, I want you to remember that when you first approached us about this process, now, because now this meeting for them, for the Madison Park folks, is like a year in or more than that. We want to remind you that at the beginning of the process, we said that the O'Brien should be here at the table, that we both schools should be going through this process together. And it was you who decided, you BPS, you city, who said, no, you will have separate processes. Then we went through this visioning study, this visioning process, Madison, this is the Madison Park friends speaking. And we were also surprised when you announced that it would be the O'Brien that would be moving because we never had any intention of moving the O'Brien. In fact, we never talked about a horizontal expansion because that's one of the what eventually in this last version of the feasibility study for Madison Park, they're spreading into the O'Brien buildings because of course they're saying that the city's saying, well, the O'Brien's going to move to West Roxbury. And so even Madison Park is saying to them, we never asked to expand horizontally. We always asked for a vertical expansion, a vertical expansion. And so you have these folks who, you know, we're all scrambling trying to figure out what the administration is really doing. And now I'm circling back, forgive me, to Mr. O'Brien, because he has expressed the sentiment that I have heard from parents who are scared that if they don't get behind this proposal, the O'Brien will get nothing. Now, when you have for years fought for improvements to a building and you have not been able to get it, you start thinking to yourself, I better settle for what I can get. It might be the worst thing for me, but the worst thing might be better than nothing at all. And so what I'm hearing when when I hear parents considering this proposal, it's because they're afraid that their building will continue to have leaks, continue to have mold, continue to have other problems that are just super, super basic because the BPS has not dealt with its buildings. What is the statistic? Over 60% of BPS buildings have like major, major problems that need that deferred maintenance issues.
It's probably higher than 60%, to be honest, but.
Yeah, so it's a huge chronic problem. And so you have people who are not in a position where they're making choices out of, well, give me two good options. They're literally thinking, if we end up doing this, it's because what can we do? And honestly, that level of hopelessness, I really hope that BPS and the mayor are not banking on us being hopeless residents of Boston in order to go along with some decision. Because I actually do expect better from the administration. I do expect better from BPS, and that we can figure out how to keep these two schools in this incredible central location together. And in fact, a few weeks ago, we had a meeting so Sadiqa Kambon, who is an incredible brother, he is the director of the Nubian Square Coalition. He has been working so hard trying to get the voice of the mayor at the table with community residents, had been unsuccessful, decided to bring a group to City Hall to basically stand outside the mayor's office and we're bringing the meeting to you. And then in that effort, the mayor did speak with him and with the crew that was there and agreed that they would have a meeting with Mr. Kambon and with David Lee, who is from Still and Lee.
And when did this confrontation, this interaction take place?
Let's see.
Would you put it out the last few weeks, the last few months?
Definitely. I mean, I can get you a specific date, but it's definitely in the last
two
month
months.
And a half.
Yeah.
It's recent. It's recent, I think.
It's after the December 5th meeting, remember? Yeah, because you didn't.
It was in January. I think this all happened in January.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, that is then about 6 months after the declaration that, you know, borders between a proposal and something that is happening. Like, seems like there's some back and forth on that. So, 6 months later, people still had to go to the mayor's office and basically chant to have a conversation. And I guess for one clarifying question, from that June 6th announcement to today, how many meetings have the parents of the O'Brien School had with either BPS or the Wu administration?
Zero.
Double zero.
Okay. We have Tammy signifying double zero zero. Stacey, did you have a clarifier for that?
This is where things get like a little gray on purpose. So they've had meetings. They've invited us to meetings at
they've
the rec.
They've invited us to tours of the rec. They've not
which
invited
is, right.
us to meetings.
Right.
They've invited which, us to tours of the rec.
Which is a condemned
on
building.
On a Saturday, and you could get a shuttle bus, if so desired, from Forest Hills.
And maybe like a vaccine or something, because it's condemned. Like it's a condemned building. Like it's not suitable for any school. I personally think I have my own theories that this was not a question about schools. It was a question about real estate. And I think they needed something to go there. And I think it was easy. I think one possibility is that they thought, well, O'Brien students, they're willing to go to school not in their neighborhood. They are, it's like citywide, right? It draws from all over the city, mostly from like the central city because it's central. I mean, so it can go from everywhere. So we can move it far away. Everybody will still go there. They'll have to go there. Like it's I don't know. And this, like, well, we'll either give you this improvement or we won't, is extortion. Like, that's just like blackmail. That's like take it or leave it. No.
Well, and if you look at Google Maps and you put on the satellite image of the place, you can see that it's sitting next to a swamp.
Yes.
Look at the land.
So up to this point, really the only, it's tough to call it a conversation because it sounds like more, you can have a walking tour of kind of where the site will be. And like, you know, what I'm struck by as somebody who, again, I read the news a lot. I try to just figure out why is this happening. I haven't discussed this issue much because I just couldn't really get a handle on it. And really the three of yours ideas, like one being that they wanted to expand this vocational high school that the O'Brien is like a sister school with, they share the same location. And they thought to themselves, all right, well, to expand this, we need to get rid of the O'Brien. Let's now move it there. I think that is a very plausible and like there's some logic behind that. And Lisa, as you were saying, like a part of it is an attempt to get whiter, wealthier families to stay within BPS. So let's move it closer. That makes sense. Stacey, you're pointing out about like there's an abandoned land. We need to use this for something. How about let's throw a school there and maybe that'll help like develop the surrounding area. All those are very plausible. And something that I always find frustrating when like listening to and talking to politicians is that they never just communicate the reasons. And like, you know, we talk about the lack of respect. And like, you know, one of the quotes also from Mayor Wu, I'm not sure when this was, I think it's another Radio Boston, I'm pulling it from a Globe article in December. She states, I think it's hard sometimes to really understand the scale or how far into the future we are needing to make decisions. Basically saying that it's hard for you all to understand. And really, the only point that I would agree with that is that they are not communicating clearly. Like, that is why it is hard to understand. Though how I read that is normally more of a condescending tone that, like, you can't see this far into the future. We can, though. We have that ability. I find it frustrating. As a parent, I would find it maddening. So,
Well, and I
all of
find
your composure is.
that odd, even in the fact that that conservatory lab did go through a planning stage of building a new school, which my daughter never got to participate in because it took too long. And we went through the change of location and all that other kind of stuff. So it's not like I'm naive into the process. But the other part is the only nearby neighborhoods that actually would benefit from this move are Roslindale. Hyde Park doesn't either. It's a half an hour bus ride away. Roslindale is the only neighborhood that would benefit.
You know what, Evan? And coming off of Tammy's comment, I'm a Roslindale parent. And even though it's possible that my younger daughter will not end up at the O'Brien, it's possible that this transition my son will only be like experience 1 or 2 years of. I'm actually thinking about this for future children. I'm
Yes.
not thinking about it for myself as much as I'm thinking about it holistically for all of Boston. And the
Yep.
reality is, this is an equity issue. BPS has tons of things that they need to be spending money on. Busing children from all over the city to West Roxbury is not one of the things that they should be spending money on. Now,
That's right.
to think about how ridiculous this is in the context of like equity, consider would BPS ever think about moving BLS to the furthest east, northeastmost corner of East Boston that has
Oh, no.
no transportation up there, where there's nothing up there? So let's say I'm not familiar with East Boston, so I'm not trying to throw shade on East Boston. I'm just saying, let's say there was a huge empty lot with nothing around it up there. Would they try to move BLS up there? Of course they wouldn't.
Hell no.
They would never even think of doing that. Why would you do that to the school, which is essentially the same thing? Well, because of some of the reasons that we're describing, and I'm guessing because they're not thinking that O'Brien parents are going to rally and put up a fight with this move. And
Because
that's
we're poorer parents.
And
I
I
mean,
think, oh no, Tammy, continue.
well, compared to BLS parents, we're poorer parents. At one of our meetings, we actually represent more the demographics and the income levels of the entire city, unlike
Right.
BLS.
Right.
And I think
Right, and so
I had the
really.
racial breakdowns. I think it's 35% Hispanic, a little bit more than 31% identify as Black, and 19% Asian, which is by far the most diverse exam school
But
that
even if you
exists.
look at the income levels, like I'm a single mom. I mean, that's just the income levels, we are actually closer to what it is for the rest of the city as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think there was an op-ed written by two teachers at the O'Brien that does a great job kind of going into all the reasons not to do this. And we've spent a lot of time really just on the communication aspect. And you've all articulated like why you're against it. We discussed transportation. As we're like slowly wrapping up, I guess if you could speak a little bit more about the impact that the O'Brien being within that community currently has, like the partnerships, jobs, internships, and why it would be very detrimental to move it to essentially a remote campus that doesn't have anything around it.
May I jump in?
Please.
The thing is, so a few things. As far as like, well, they wouldn't do this to BLS. The thing is, and what you said, Lisa, like we're the same, and why would they do this to us? We are not the same because we depend on the partnerships. Like the kids who go to OB need the partnerships,
Yeah,
and the
that's right.
kids who go to BLS don't. And I mean, I appreciate that about BLS, not to push and try to get the partnerships too, or like maybe they do anyway. I have no idea, but
They
like
have partnerships. Those are very active.
but like they have a great endorsement. Like they have like they're all set. Like their OB kids are not all set. Like they need these partnerships. They need the connection with MGH, with Brigham, with Vertex Pharmaceutical. They need this. Like they depend on this for their futures.
That's right.
So this is very, very bad for O'Brien. Like this is potentially horrible. It would like rip it apart. It would rip apart the kids' future. Like there's no question. You're taking away experience, you're taking away connections, you're taking away everything. It's so bad. Also, just one small thing about the construct of O'Brien is that we also have a very large number of families that are not very fluent in English. So I really am not even 100% sure that all families even know that this is happening or that this is a proposed thing, because BPS has really not engaged the community or O'Brien at all. I don't think things are translated all the time. They're really not welcoming and inviting of that. I just, sorry, there's one other thing. And my son, because he's a sophomore, I don't think this will affect him. I could be wrong, because they could maybe have everybody doing construction and they would have to have classes in like a I don't know, like trailer or something. Like it could
The
affect him.
current timeline, I believe, is they're aiming for fall of
2026.
2026, which I can tell
Yep.
you would never happen. But
Yeah,
continue.
right. And he's supposed to graduate in 2026, God willing. No, I'm just kidding. But no, but no, so I really don't think, I say like, no, I wouldn't have thought of O'Brien as anything right for us if I knew they were moving. I don't think this will affect him, but this is just wrong. It's wrong. I'm against it because I'm not against it because it's going to affect him, because I really don't think it will. It will affect his alma mater. Like it will affect him as far as that, but I just think that it's wrong. I just think that it's gravely mistake. It's just this, like it's a, we will look back, I'm afraid, in 20, 30 years and say, oh, remember O'Brien was here. Remember when it was in Roxbury? Wow, that was a really good school. It won't be the same school. Like it won't. Like this will be a huge mistake. And to pay money for busing, that's with the administration now. Do we really think that another administration is going to support that? I don't think so. Can't even figure out, like the tea is on fire all the time. Like really? Like this is not, it's it's just not, it's just a lousy idea, and I'm so against it. Sorry.
Was there anything else about the partnerships that either
Sure.
Sam or
Can
Lisa wanted to share?
I? So let's start with like the seventh and eighth graders. So right in Nubian Square, there's Pi R squared, which helps them with math. They can go to Squash Busters over at Northeastern. Boston Rowing comes and picks kids up and takes them to the Charles so that they can do rowing all the time. They go to their first little jaunt to Vertex and spend the day in the labs to see if that's what they want to do. And as they age, they have opportunities to have dual enrollment at Wentworth and Roxbury Community College in Northeastern. They also have the partnerships with MGH, the Brigham, and everything else in Longwood Medical Center. And for my daughter, she spent her days, she'd meet up with all of her friends that were from like Hyde Park and Roslindale and Dorchester and Marks. They would go and spend their after schools at the Copley Library. And that's where they would spend their afternoons. And that's where they would study. So none of that would be possible. And she has a job downtown now because that would not be possible if they're out in Timbuktu. Lisa, you go for it. You go, girl. You got more partnerships that would go down the toilet.
It's interesting because I think we've talked a lot about there's a lot of official partnerships that we know about. There's all kinds of informal things that happen that are also at stake here. When folks from these different environments, STEM companies come and share it in our classrooms, they're fitting it into their day because it's a hop, skip, and a jump over. They're not going to have to spend half the morning or half the day commuting back and forth, even with a car. So these kinds of everything from the larger partnerships, the dual enrollment kind of programs that we have, to the smaller things when people are just popping in for a couple of hours or an hour to do something with our students, those things are going to evaporate once you have a location that's not next to anything. And I think, we haven't talked at all about the ways that this really is challenging for communities of color that have had an opportunity to go to school in a place where they feel like the community is welcoming to them. I have had friends who've gone to school in the West Roxbury complex. And as soon as they found out that the school might be moving on, they were flabbergasted, and they were re-traumatized thinking about their own experience of what it's like for them as people of color to go into a neighborhood that didn't really want them there. And so all of these things that, there's a reason why, for example, is this proposal not being run through the rubric that BPS has to figure out what makes sense to do with facilities. It's one of the projects that they are refusing to run through the rubric. Why? Well, partly because it wouldn't make sense to do it according to their own rubric, probably. So think about.
And I'm very sorry to cut you off, but before speaking to you all, when I was trying to like understand like what would a logical process be? You find a location in West Roxbury, it'd be great to have a school here. If you didn't want to just create a new school, nothing stops us from going to 119 to 120 schools. But if there's some like lowering enrollment, but some of our buildings are well over a century old. So I would have probably started with, well, what school is currently located in a building that is unsafe? That is just structurally falling apart. And then I think every parent, you can all correct me if I'm wrong, would look at that and say, I don't want my son or daughter or child going to a school where a piece of concrete's going to fall on them. Where else can we go? That to me would make sense. But it seems, as Lisa, you're saying, this is not based upon the facility. And that's not to say that the O'Brien facility is perfect and doesn't need
No, it's
reparations.
not.
Again, they all do, but it's not a case of the infrastructure is not falling apart. And for me, if you're going to move a
Well,
school, it well, I guess any more or less, and I'm sure there are more that are,
it
you would choose one of those locations because that just makes a lot more logical sense. But as you're saying, Lisa, they're not even using their own quote unquote rubric, and Ruby and I discussed that, and some of the problems around them creating their own rubric to achieve their own objective.
Right. I mean, I went to
Yeah,
one of the
much
rubrics
a
that you
larger
said.
conversation, but yes.
They also said that they were going to have more seats because they would then have seventh and eighth grade.
They already do. I understand that they're going to have more seats, but they're really not thinking about O'Brien because O'Brien has seventh and eighth. So to say that O'Brien will now have seventh and eighth, I really don't think they were even paying that much attention. Like, because that's not true. Like, they already have that.
And I guess one final question, and I hope we'll all talk again, either on this format or informally, is, like as we've been discussing it, and as you've been, fighting against it and organizing against it, do you feel that this is a done deal, or do you feel like there is still a chance of getting this to not happen, and just your honest feeling?
I think there is a chance of it not happening, but not because necessarily the parents stopping it, but because the budget comes and smacks reality right in the face, and they don't have any budget. So, money talks, right?
I guess Lisa Stacy.
Yeah, that's a great question, Evan. And I think that's the question of the day. Where are we really in this process? I think I don't really know how seriously the I can't tell if the way that they're talking about things now is because they're genuinely taking in community input and realizing, wow, maybe this isn't a good idea. What can we do? Or if they're trying to manage a process to come up to go to the outcome that they had already predetermined. So it was, even being at the meeting that I mentioned, that was maybe 2 2.5 weeks ago, where the mayor sent Chief Dion Irish, who's wonderful. He's the chief of operations for the city. He met with Brother Siddiqui Cambon from the Nubian Square Coalition, David Lee, this renowned architect that has worked on Rubble Station, so many the police headquarters in right down the street from the O'Brien, a super nationally renowned architect who said at that meeting, you can absolutely keep both of these buildings in this area, in this location, with improved and revitalized facilities. And so and really he was pointing out the urban design elements of what needed to happen, that you need to take into account the location and its amenities and all of its resources, because we're not building a school in the middle of an Iowa farmland. We're talking about a school that's in the middle of the city with city children. So anyway, all that to say that at that meeting, one of the things that I was trying to convey was like, what kind of a meeting is this? Is this a PR meeting or is this a real meeting where we're having a conversation about this topic? And I think, one thing that really struck me about that, about our conversation, is that there was one point I remember in the meeting that I said to myself, wow, it's so easy to have a lot of well-intentioned people working really hard at their jobs, super hard, and still arrive at a really bad decision from a systems perspective. And so to answer your question, what can everybody zoom out far enough that they can see that this is a completely racist proposal? I don't know if everybody's really willing to do that, but I'm hopeful that if people do do that they will have courage, that they will have some courage to say, you know what? Let's look at the current site. Okay, let's do this. Okay, here we have a world-renowned architect who's saying to us, you can do it here. Let's talk to him and let's get the folks that have been looking at the site already and let's all get in room and hammer this out. The mayor can do that. The city could do that if they wanted. They have power to do that. They could do it if they want to. I think the question is, will they? Will they have the will to do it when it's not what they originally thought of?
And Stacey, where's your head at? And is that
I would like to think that's the reason that things will go the way I think they might, and is because people are really cognizant of what's happening. But I don't think so. So do I think it's a done deal? No. do I, and by the way, I can prove nothing of this. So like, don't even try. Like, it's just like my theories. But I think that it is quite possible for it not to happen and be a done deal. But I suspect that it has more to do with West Roxbury than to do with O'Brien. And by that, I mean, I think it has to do with the West Roxbury community and politics of wanting O'Brien there or not. And
It
I say that because I believe I've heard this rumor, like, because I can't prove it. I'm sure, I don't know who can prove it, but I have heard that there was a real estate deal that was happening on that site, that it was like sold. It was already going to be apartments, it was going to be condos. But what happened is the parking was not going to be like you pull into your driveway like one car. It was going to be the other way, so it would be multi-car, so it's multi-family. And people didn't like that because they thought, that means project, we don't want that. And so the deal fell through. So then it was like, we have to put something there. And then everything happened in O'Brien, I think. So I believe in, I think that instead of like we are trying to get the Roxbury community to say like we need this school here, like this is part of, this is the mesh of our of the fabric of our city, and like we need this and we want this. But I actually think that it, we might stand a better chance of if we go the other way and ask West Roxbury, do you want this? Do you want all these kids bussed in every day? And then
They
they have
don't.
to trudge. No, they don't. And like on a snowy path, they can't get dropped off. They can't, like, nobody's going to be walking to school anymore. They're just going to be like, they're going to be hanging around. Do you really want this? Like, do you? And if West Roxbury says, no, I could see how that kind of pressure, I think that could make it cave. I think I could see how that could happen, not because it's a better thing for O'Brien to stay where it is and just renovate and just, I don't know, gut it and redo it or what, however, I don't know. They will know. But like I think it's in O'Brien's best interest, to say the least, to stay where they are and have it built up. But I don't think we will have much luck in convincing the stakeholders that it should stay. I think it may be that the stakeholders on the other side may not want them to be there. I really think, not only do I think that like it's racist that they should look and see like, wait a second, like what are we doing? This is a bad idea. I think it's so ingrained that the racism is so ingrained that I think we have a better chance at not moving because we're unwelcome. Of course, and I'll be sad if that happens, but I'll be happy if that happens because I don't want them to move. And I think it will be really, really not serving them well at all for like the future of the kids. So it's fine. I'll swallow that. Like I'll say like, okay, it's just because they're racist. I'll be fine with that. Like, don't move them. Like, don't move the kids. It's just, it's a bad idea. So I don't think it's a done deal, but I think it's not for the right reasons. Like, it's not because they realize it. I think it might be because they don't want it. I
No,
don't know.
I think that's both insightful and sadly accurate that sadly the pressure that they would respond to would be coming the other way. And it's always sometimes it, like a tactic that organizations have to think of about do we lean into what is essentially a nativist and racist rhetoric if it achieves our objective? And you sometimes see that in housing policy, which is something that I spend a lot of my time on. And, I'll just say, again, continuing with housing, I've never been a part of a quote unquote conversation that felt that the community was being listening to. It is much more a PowerPoint of this is what's going to happen. You can leave in the comments how you feel, but this is going to happen. We're just telling you what's happening. But I'll also say, as somebody who has studied a lot of movements, you never really know until you try. And so even if I think of all of your political insights are all both incredible and fascinating, truly. And even if it feels powerless, you really don't know unless you do it. And there are examples of successful movements. So I guess first, thank you all for your organizing and everything you're doing. If someone listens to this, either from the Roxbury area or a parent, what is like a good way of getting involved in this issue? Is there someone to contact? Should they go through Ruby? What would be the best method?
Yeah, I would say if they're a Roxbury resident, they can contact the Black Community Information Center. Brother Sadiq Gambon has been so instrumental in pulling together some of the important conversations. Ruby, of course, if folks want to get involved with the education space, she is wonderful. And BEJA is a wonderful organization, not just even for this issue, but across BPS, as I'm sure you heard, Evan, when she was on your podcast. Those are the two, I think, two big contexts. Obviously, if folks are at the O'Brien and are listening to this, they should contact the O'Brien Parent Council. And the email there is obryantparentcouncil@gmail.com.
And I'll make sure to add all these to to the
Okay, great.
notes.
We will add them as
And
well. Yeah,
yeah,
we can send you the
nice.
information for Brother Siddiqui.
Great.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, again, thank you all. Don't log off just yet, but I guess formally saying thank you all for coming, Tammy, Lisa, Stacy, and continue the fight. I'm sure this will not be the end of our conversation. And have a good evening.
Thanks so
Thank
much,
you,
Evan.
Evan.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much, Evan.
Yep. And
for having me. Thank you.